Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome Melissa G., a compulsive overeater from Virginia.
Hi, thanks for having me. And Jessica, thank you for asking me to speak tonight. I just want to keep saying that my ego keeps coming up, which ego is edging God out, that I need to put on a show. And that, like, whenever I was in a show or a play, I'd forget my lines. And so I had to remember, I'm not doing a performance and I need to calm myself down. And I just am sharing my experience and strength. And that's all I can do. And I hopefully will not talk that fast. I'm going to try to slow down and make sense. But I'm just going to start with a quick prayer. Divine guidance, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, the disease, the 12 steps, and others, so I may have an open heart, an open mind, and a new experience with all these things. I'm just a channel for what you want me to share. Let me be open to hear what I need to say from you to be useful to others, and maybe someone can connect with my story. So as a qualification, I've been in and out of the rooms for at least 12 years, but I feel like I say that, so it's maybe 15 years by now. I don't know. I will start with how it was, and it started like I was a normal sized kid. I always felt a little bit bigger because I had an older sister who was 2 years older than me, and she was just like a natural twig before like that waif skinny look was in. That's just who she was. So no matter what, I just kind of felt bigger than her. Like I had really chubby cheeks and people always commented about them. You know, let's not comment about kids' bodies, people. Okay, anyway, so I would snack a lot. I didn't really like meals. I liked junk and sugar. I would always choose babysitting jobs depending on like who had the best food. And I was like the babysitter who's like, let's bake, let's do something fun. I would go to certain friends' sleepovers because I like their pantries. Like I remember my friend would always be like, why do you always walk in my pantry? And it's because my mom didn't keep junk at our house. She got a junk cereal. And I could only get junk cereal. And we were like away the 1 week in the summer. And she'd put like two, can you say foods in this meeting? Okay. She'd put like two cookies in my lunch bag and like my friends would have like bags of them. And I just always felt like, wait, what? I mean, but pretty much like, I don't remember really thinking about food or body. I do remember thinking I was never athletic. Like I tried out for everything. I tried out for badminton, volleyball, cheerleading, the plays. I didn't make anything. And so I'm like, just give me a part as a tree, like in the back, like, come on, people, I just want to be a part of something. So food, like I noticed then, was like a comfort to me. My job was like a waitress. God, I forgot about that. I just remembered right now. I was the worst waitress. I would bring meals before their appetizers and I would put in like that they ordered desserts knowing that they didn't. So I'd have to bring it back and then I'd eat it. I'd work at the movie theater. Yeah. Okay. So that was high school. College, I went away and it was like a free for all. I was like, what? Like I had the meal plan. I could go into the dining hall. It was amazing. I remember staying and eating and then waiting for like the next crowd to come and act like I hadn't eaten yet and eat with the next group of friends who came. I gained, you know, whatever the freshman 20, I don't know. I've never been a scale person. Actually, I'm going to pause and be like, I've never been a scale person. I don't own a scale, but growing up, I remember my cousins were over. They were our age, me and Jamie's age, my sister and my brother. And they're like, oh, let's all weigh ourselves. Like that was the game. Let's all weigh ourselves. And I remember being the heaviest one and I was the youngest. And I just remember thinking, Man, that feels embarrassing. I didn't know really why, but I just remember thinking that was embarrassing. Maybe I don't know. That's why scales are not my friend. Whether it's low, I think this is amazing. I can eat whatever I want. If it's high, I'm the worst person in the world. I don't deserve to live, and I should be embarrassed to be out there. So the number was never good for me. I came home from college. I gained weight. I had like a boyfriend who was like, "Oh, thunder thighs," like thinking he was funny and not funny. Going through drive-throughs and like, what's next? What's next? If I had salty, I needed sweet. If I had sweet, then the next thing was going to be something salty. Just keeping a spoon in my car. That's my car spoon for when I would get ice cream in the supermarket. I thought I was so smart. I found out other people did that too in the rooms. Yeah, I would throw out trash at the Target trash because I couldn't bring it home if I did have stuff, and I had my car cookies because, I can't go anywhere without having instant access to food. My head was just so busy. I was on Life360. I would take myself off it so no one could track where I'm going, just lying. And then just being angry, hating myself, hating you. I was always obsessed with food. Like if we were out to dinner, I would know exactly like what you had eaten, what you hadn't eaten, what I was going to eat when you got up, because I was still going to, it was exhausting. Anyway, I didn't think I had a food problem because I wasn't anorexic and I wasn't bulimic. So I was just like, I don't know what's wrong, but this just doesn't feel right. And I got so upset that I thought, oh my God, I have it. If I burn my tongue and I don't have taste buds, then I'm not going to eat. I won't eat like this anymore. No one else is shaking their heads, and maybe I'm the only one who thought that, but I thought I was genius. I didn't do it, but it scared the crap out of me that I did actually go to a new psychiatrist. And we were talking, and she's like, well, why don't you go to someplace called OA? And I'm like, OA. And then when she told me it stood for, I'm like, no, thank you. I am not going to that thing. And I was still miserable. I guess you'd say I was like in step zero for a long time. Like I just was doing a lot of research of food. And sometimes Weight Watchers would work, sometimes it wouldn't. But because it did work once, the belief that it could work again was just so close always. It was so close. Anyway, I was so desperate. I was like crying. At this point, I'm married. I have two kids. I'm a mess. I Googled what an OA meeting, and there was one like an hour away from my house, and I drove to it. And I remember just sitting in the back of the room, and I had a hat on, and I'm crying, and they're all talking and just hearing parts of my story. And I just felt so sad. But then they start talking about God. I'm like, what does God have to do with me losing weight? And so I left. I'm like, that's ridiculous. And of course, I went off eating. But at this point, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just try like sugar-free stuff. Like sugar-free, like that's got to be good for you. Like the fat-free, sugar-free. I don't know about you, but have you ever binged on sugar-free candy? Oh my God, I thought my stomach, I thought I literally caught my sister crying outside a restaurant because I just binged on sugar-free candy that I thought, I think I'm dying. I think I'm dying. That happened two more times, by the way. Didn't stop me. Didn't stop me. So this, the story's continuing. I really, I guess I didn't used to have a weight problem, but now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, huh, that's interesting. Like things, hating myself, things, clothes just didn't fit anymore. And now I just can't stop eating. I'm eating my kids' Halloween candy. I'm lying and saying it went stale. I bought my daughter this huge ass Toblerone from like HomeGoods. It's one of those things like they don't always have it. And I wanted to give it to her for Valentine's Day. She didn't get it. Let's just put it that way. She didn't get it. And I felt so sad because that's like her favorite candy and it was such a cool gift. And I couldn't get it for her. And then one time they wanted me to get little Debbie's. And they're like, Mom, why don't we ever have stuff like this in our house? Which I was, because if we do, I was like, are you sure you want it? And they're like, yeah. And the next day it was gone. And I just didn't want to eat it. I was like, Melissa, don't eat their food. And I didn't have time to buy another box. It's such a, you can just hear my story. I don't know how long it's been, but it was just painful. It was really painful. My mind just wouldn't shut up. It was just horrible. And I always just always think, I got this. I can do it. I'd wake up, I'd be like, okay, it's Monday morning. First of all, you can never start a diet unless it's Monday. Like Sunday night, I'm binging, I'm having a party. It's the last hurrah. Like, I got it. I'm gonna eat everything. Wait, there's one more concoction I didn't think about. I thought I was like a scientist. I was coming up with the best concoctions. So anyway, it's Monday. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Let's just skip to I found a vision meeting someone told me about. At this point, I had been going to OA now. I just looked at it as a diet program. We didn't even read the big book, didn't know what it was. They just read from the OA book and shared. And I'm like, okay, I'll try this. Someone talked about a meeting that you call every morning and they start reading from the big book. And I was like,
Excuse me,
oh,
Melissa.
is that
That's him.
10?
Yeah,
Perfect.
thanks.
So I started learning about what recovery was. And so I got a big book sponsor and I was like, this is it. Okay, I get it. I went through the steps. It was so emotional, self-knowledge. I know why, the doctor's opinion. I have an allergy. I can't eat those foods. I got to the 12th step and she's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, what? And she's like, go off and sponsor. And I wouldn't do it. I'm like, there's no way I'm sponsoring. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not good enough. So I went back in the food. I got another sponsor. I lied. I didn't share what my real yellow light foods were. So I kept eating them, which is getting me back into my allergy, which is making the mental obsession go crazy. I did it again, and this time I did share some things, but not all. Like I'm just gonna say them out loud so everyone hears me. Popcorn, Diet Coke, stevia, peanut butter, no sugar, can't have them. Thought I could. I ended up even saying, I start throwing in like almond butter. I'm like, I can have that because I can have almonds. Sorry, I say that funny. I can't say it the other way. I was like, I could do that. Next thing I know, it's like tablespoon. I can't. And so just finally being like, okay, COVID hit. I thought I was dying. I thought we're all dying. Whatever. I'll eat everything. For some reason, I reached out to this one person and I just said, listen, please help me. Or I don't know where you're on the program. I met her like a year before at something. And she was like, oh, I'm great. I'm working the steps. I'm doing this. She was like, had a life. She sounded happy. She sounded sane. So we worked the steps for 2 years. And I was sponsoring. I was working the program. I was doing all the things. And then I went on a overnight train to Florida and I had a lot of fear and everything was going wrong that could go wrong. And I did go into food, but the food was the last thing. They always say that, like I wasn't paying attention to the fact that I stopped doing my tens to my sponsor at the time. I stopped taking new people. I just kind of was sticking with my old people. Did some other stuff. Went through the rounds again, got desperate again. And then now it's been over a year that I had, knock on wood, and higher power. I did not do this myself. Me, myself, I am in the corner with a box of sweets is what Melissa does. I started working with a new sponsor and we called it my renewal period. And in my renewal period, I was drowning and she threw me a vest. And this vest said, we're talking every day at 6:30 in the morning. We're doing this, this, and that. And I was like, oh, can I get another vest? I was thinking, I didn't like that vest in my, I needed one that was like a 9:30 in the morning. But no, I was gonna do everything she said. So I was honest. I really shared with her my yellow light foods. I had just binged at my daughter's college graduation after 2 years of being abstinent. Oh God. And it was so, I was such a liar and it was just so sad. And I thought I can stop when I get home. And then when I got home and I couldn't stop, that's when I just really, so this person and I went through the big book and she had me doing it differently. She had me doing it heart-centered. And we always started with the set aside prayer and setting aside everything that I thought I knew for a new experience, because this is my renewal period. So it was going to be different and it was going to be new. And I didn't like the word God, and so I always called it my guidance on direction, my divine guidance. And every morning I sat down and I had my quiet time with my divine guidance, who would, when I asked for help, would help me. And I just had to remember, ask for help. And she said to me, get a little something and start getting a miracle journal. So you start writing down things and you can see where higher power shows up for you. And as we started talking, like in the very beginning, I was talking about roots and pulling out roots that are in the ground and shaking them off and getting, new roots to help you regrow. And literally, like as we were talking about that, I look outside. I thought I printed it out. I did. I look outside and my wife is outside with her best friend and they are pulling, I don't know if you can see or not, but they are pulling these roots off this huge ass tree that was killing this tree. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. We're literally reading about taking these roots and shaking them off and getting a new fresh air, area. And so it doesn't suck the life out of me and my disease and planting it somewhere else. And that's what I felt like we were doing. And it just started with that. And I just start writing down small things that I was noticing, my response to people, not being so quick to text, just small things. Let's see here. Going through the steps, it really has been a whole different experience. Okay, so I'll just go through some of the stuff. How about that? How about I just share a couple of the miracles? Well, some of the stuff I have two daughters. I have a 20 and a 23-year-old, and most of my stuff I notice are fear, resentment, worry counts with fear. Like that's a lot of it. And I start noticing if I say the third step prayer using their names and putting it to, their higher power, my younger daughter, okay, I'll tell you two examples with her that are miracles that have happened through working the program. And then I'm sure I'm skipping a lot. So if you have questions, ask. If not, just share amongst yourselves. But so we were going on this family vacation this summer to Florida. And my sister moved there 2 years ago, and my mom and her partner, I don't know, what do you call an 88-year-old man? Her boyfriend's he has a condo there. They've been together for 4 years, and my dad's been passed away 5 or 6 years. And this was going to be the first time my whole family was going to be together. My two girls, my brother and his two kids, my sister and her two boys, and my sister-in-law, my brother's wife said, "Oh, Ryan's bringing his girlfriend." I'm like, she what? He's bringing his girlfriend on our family vacation? And I'm like, oh God, my stomach dropped. I'm like, that's gonna ruin the whole thing. Cause I had a plan of what I wanted this vacation to look like. And the vacation didn't look like having his girlfriend there. It's gonna ruin the dynamics. Like, it's gonna change my two girls' experience with their cousins, and it's gonna take away. And how is this gonna work? And I'm like, oh wait, I forgot I'm actually in a program that I'm recovered. Let's see, Melissa's first thought is negative. Where recovery comes in and says, hang on a second here, my friend, like GPS, like God positioning, rotating system, like reroute, reroute. Who knows what it's going to look like? This is happening. So accept what is. She's invited. They bought the plane ticket. Accept what is. Okay, I accept it. Who knows why she's supposed to be there? Maybe it could be good. I don't think so. There's Melissa. Nope, shut Melissa up. Maybe it could be good. We don't know. It's not for you. Take your experience there. So I'll just share, it was a lovely vacation. The last day, my daughter was trying to sign up for this stats class for her college for a summer class, and she kept getting booted down. It was all these issues, and this Kelly was helping my daughter out. And Kelly just graduated high school. She's, AP, super smart kid. My daughter's dyslexic, super smart, but dyslexic, and math is very hard for her. So I said to Kelly, "Oh, hey, like, would you be interested in like tutoring Julia on Zoom for her stats class? Like, you could kind of work with her because she had just taken AP stats." And she's like, "Yeah, that'd be great." So the person that I didn't want to come, who we had a lovely time with, she's lovely, just finished working 50 hours with Julia to take this stats class that she helps her do, that I couldn't help her do that. I'm like, okay, That's a beautiful miracle. That's a beautiful miracle. Another thing is the same daughter, she can handle herself, but she's 20 and I'm still used to like how I show my love. Like I try to parent and control. Like that's how I like to show my love, take care of things. We were divorced, so I always had to take care of stuff for their dad, like the dad. Like he's the best, but I, you know, so when she was going to take a train to visit her older sister in DC, I felt so bad because I had to teach in the afternoon and I couldn't take her. And I was like, oh, I'll ask someone to take her. I'll take care of it. I next to my nephew. I'm like, oh, I'll pay you like you're an Uber. And you know what? Whoever's timing me, if you'll just give me like a 2 minute warning at the end, I have no idea how long we've been talking. So he's like, sure, that sounds great, Aunt Melissa. And I tell Joy, I'm like, I got you a ride, this and that. And she was like, Ma, why'd you do that? I got it. I got someone's taking me. I'm like, oh, I was like, well, I just thought it would be helpful. Like, I was like a little like, oh God, what did I do that was wrong? I was just trying to be so helpful. I'm just helpful. And so I took a step back and I thought, oh, I was being helpful because I felt guilty because I couldn't take her. I needed to control it to make sure I felt safe and comfortable that she was taken care of. That's how I show my love. And I need to apologize because like selfishly I was doing that. I was taking care of it so I could be comfortable because I felt bad. And I apologized to her and I said, you know what? You totally did it. You totally are on top of things and I'm sorry. And I did realize I think that's how I was showing love. Like doing that is my way of showing love, how like hurt. My wife likes to cook, and that's her way to show love. I don't like to cook. I got very lucky. But she goes, you know what, Mom? You show me love all the time. Like you listen to me. You know who my friends are. You know what's going on with school. You know this and that. So you show me love. You don't need to do that. I got it, you know? And I'm like, you're right. You got it. And that was just a really cool experience. Like there's a whole bunch more. I just don't know how much time I have. Can the timekeeper tell me how much time?
Sorry, yeah, you have about 8 more minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll share another one. Okay. So we don't have, I don't have a lot of pictures of myself, as you know, I just don't. I'm usually the one taking a lot of the pictures. And if someone wants to take my picture, it's like, oh, don't take my picture. You know, I'm aging. It's uncomfortable. Like I'm getting all these necklines in my face. And I'm just like, I don't want to be it. And my daughters are like, you know, Mom, we don't have like any good pictures of us to hang up. Like, we need some pictures of us. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, we'll do it. We'll do it. And my wife was at the pool in the summer. She was like invited with the neighbors and they were all talking. And one of the neighbors started working for this magazine, like the neighborhood magazine, and it has a family picture on it. And so my wife's like, you need to make it a little more diverse. Like all you have is like the typical family. And she's like, well, why don't you guys be on it? And she's like, huh, let me ask Melissa. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna, that's so embarrassing. No. And I teach at a school, like all my friends know, but the students don't know. And that might just be weird. Like some people, I don't know how they feel. And then I heard like my kids say, like, Mom. And so I said, let me ask the girls if they want to. Because if they want to, then I will do it. I will do it. I'm recovered. And this is what a recovered person would do, is not be into self, but be of service. And if this is what they want to do. And they're like, yeah, that sounds fun. And then I talked to their dad and his wife and their daughter. I'm like, do you guys want to be a part of it? Like, we have a really kind of interesting blended family. And then her ex, like, we all kind of COVID together, and it was really kind of neat. So we did do it. And the day that we were all supposed to get together for the photo shoot thing, their dad and his wife had to fly to Florida for an emergency, so they weren't there, and it was just the four of us. And they were taking pictures, and I just got out of myself, and we took the pictures, and we all kept laughing because we're like, they took this one freaking picture, like we're all by the tree, and we're like, they're gonna choose this picture because this literally looks like the most ridiculous picture that you could take. It's so cheesy, and we have no say, and so we got it back, and that was the picture, and I'm gonna share it with you. I'm gonna share the cover of this magazine that I didn't want to be in, okay, and it's the four of us on this by this tree. It looks like an old school like a comedy thing, and they're like, come and knock on our door. You know what I mean? Like it just felt embarrassing. But what was the coolest thing was a parent from the school that I taught at. I teach in a different district, and so I was like, if someone sees it, they see it. She texted me and she said, "What a beautiful picture of your family." And I had taught her son, and she was one of the people that I was worried, like, I wonder if she has opinions and would that matter? So that was just really a cool miracle. Like, I got out of self. We have this thing now, which is just like hysterical, that is it's forever. We had fun doing it. Like, it was really funny. And that's not Melissa. Like, Melissa would be like, don't take my picture, it's so embarrassing. Like, I put on eyeliner for you guys today and lipstick, like lipstick, it's like lip gloss. Like, this is like, I feel like I'm fancy. Like, I'm dressed up right now. Someone said once, when you speak, it should be like you want someone, to. I don't have everything together. I don't. I have today. And today, thank you, God, guidance, higher power. Like, I'm working my program. I have food in my house. I forgot. I just remembered I have frozen cookies that I bought from a neighbor selling stuff. I would never have them because they would have been eaten frozen. Like, oh, it's really, it's so scary. I have a friend who went out, and it's so hard to get back in. And I know what it feels like because I've done it. I've just shared, I've been in and out so many times. And it was this last renewal. I'm like, I don't know if I have another one in me. So it's like, I just signed up to lead on Wednesday nights this meeting, because if I don't do service, I don't show up. And when Jessica asked me to speak, I'm like, are you sure you want me to speak? And I wanted to say no, but it's like, if somebody asks me, then I'm gonna show up. I'm gonna do it. Yeah, I could go over things I do if you're interested, if we still have time. Right now I have two sponsees that I work with. I talk to my sponsor. I send her my morning food and my gratitudes and my plan. And it's not that I'm sending it to her. I'm offering it to my divine guidance every day. I'm offering, this is my plan. And if it changes, help me be able to go with whatever the flow is. I make calls throughout the day. I try to go to meetings at least 3 times a week. I listen to a phone meeting in the morning. I plan my meals. I know what I'm going to eat. I don't go out a ton. If I do go out, I either know exactly what I'm eating at the restaurant, or I bring my own dressing, because I just don't trust what they have, and B, I like mine. It's just delicious. It's olive oil, lemon juice, seasoning, like, just makes it easier. I know what I'm having. If I go to friends' houses, I do bring my food a lot, just because I don't want people to have to be like, what are you eating again? Because I've been on so many diets and I've told people I'm not eating so many different foods. It's embarrassing. Like, I can take care of myself. Don't worry. And if they have something I can eat, then I'll keep my stuff in my little cooler and I'll take it back home. I don't take a scale if I'm going out to eat. I don't weigh and measure. So that's really why I don't go out a ton, because I start doing that before this past renewal period. I noticed I would go out a little more because I didn't weigh and measure, and it was exciting. I got definitely like a kick, like a little hit. And I see how I'm getting excited. My food plan, I say, is like a Toyota Camry. Like, it gets you where it needs to go. Nothing against Toyota Camrys. They're great cars. But it's not like a cool like Jeep or like a fast car. Like, I just need to know it's safe. It's gonna nourish me. And it's good. Like, I like my food. I like my food. I'm actually really picky. And so it's
That's 2 minutes.
okay. Okay. I think I will end by saying, let's see here. I had some post-it notes around in case I forgot anything I wanted to say. The ultimate humility is to ask, help me. I remember I'm in my daughter's room, and my mother-in-law was visiting once. She lives somewhere else. And I came in this room and I didn't know what to do. I was gonna have a nervous breakdown. I just said, help me, help me, help me, help me. I don't know what to do, help me. And I'd never done the really help me prayer before. And I just got in my head, just be so positive. And every negative thing she says, just agree, just agree. And you know what? The next day turned out much better. It turned out much better. Silly things like I asked for help. My daughter couldn't find her wallet, and we just came back from the airport. So she said she knew she had it. And we were looking everywhere. I'm like, oh, maybe this is one of the times. Do I ask for help? I'm like, hey, any help? Like, I can't think where to look. And something just said to me, open the shoe box and look in the bottom of the shoe box. Like, I would never have looked there. It's like weird. So I'm not saying it's a magic genie and I roll it in the that something comes out. But if I can get out of self, and myself is a fearful, anxious, scared person, and ask guidance for direction, ask fellows that are recovered, go to meetings, share, do the work. I always feel like when if I have a sponsee, I'm like, do I know what I'm doing? I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe they should have somebody else, but it's like I can only share what I've done and what's working for me. And that's it. That's it. So I'm going to say thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for sharing your story.